So last time we start mentioning the word reshima. Reshima means impression. It's something when the energy is coming to touch something and then it left, then basically it leave reshima there. It leave reshima. Reshima means impression that later on that impression give birth to the next energy, to the next level, and it will draw because you need to create a desire. And without having a desire, you have basically no light. What's important, fulfillment or desire? Both. If the fulfillment want to share and there is no desire, the fulfillment stay dead. If the desire exists and there is no fulfillment, then it's also become dead. So both need each other. People are normally fighting. What people are fighting about? Giving and receiving. I'm giving you so much. And we should tell the receiver, say, thank you, you receive. You know, the giver has to say thank you to the receiver. Without the receiver, the giver has no value. The receiver normally say thank you because the receiver, remember that without the giver, there is no candy. What do you teach your kids when they're young? Say thank you, say thank you. And the kids say thank you. What can I do? They say thank you. They mean it. They don't mean it, but they get candy for that. So they get candy. So the idea of that's what we're educating people, and we believe the receiver is less and the giver is more. Why? Because we believe in gravity. We believe in Newton. And in Newton, they explain that if you are giving something, you have to be above, and the receiver have to be below, only in one condition. The giver know that without the receiver, there is no exist. But if the giver think that I am the boss and the receiver is not, then the giver is not the real giver. The giver doesn't get a thing. And eventually that giver, even if he give him, will not be happy. But if the giver understand that without the receiver, I'm nothing, then the receiver is well respected. So if I give you now a piece of food or money or clothing or physical thing or wisdom or advice and all this and that, and I know that without you I have no value, then the giving is a true giving. Because lately, I have many phone calls from students who are panicking about the concept of bread of shame. Everybody is afraid to receive. And they say, I don't want to receive. Why? Because I might feel ashamed. Why would you might feel ashamed? What are you afraid to feel ashamed? What is that problem about feeling ashamed? Say, well, Eliyahu, you know, in Kabbalah, they teach a concept called bread of shame. Oh, now we have bread of shame, I cannot receive. I said, what if you do a favor to the giver? So, what do you mean? But I need the giver. Of course you need the giver. So let's say you need $100, but that giver, without you receiving from him or her, they cannot actually feel happy. So who's doing favor to who? The giver or the receiver? Of course the receiver. So don't ever disrespect the receiver. Because I see a lot of time people disrespect themselves for being the receiver. It's a very sad story. People think that if I'm the receiver, something wrong with me. Something is not right about me. No. Without the receiver, there is no giver. The giver is dead. The giver is dying. You know? After all, if you have a seed of an apple in your hand, it will not grow until you put it where? Into the receiver. So the receiver actually brings the giver, which is the seed, into a manifestation, into fruition. So respect both sides. You cannot disrespect both sides. So when we're reading here, that the Ein Sof, the endless light, which is the giver, the absolute giver, is giving infusion of every single blessing within the vessel. But because of something called the Tzimtzum, as we've spoke about it last week, contraction or restriction, that light has to go away. Why is this light? Why is this blessing go away? Why is the blessing leaving? Why is the blessing going away? I mean, such a blessing. The divine want to give you everything. Everything. So the divine want to give that thing that called a circular vessel, kelim de igulim, everything. And they receive everything. Why? Because the kelim de igulim, the circular vessel, and the circular light, which means endless light, have a great unity between one another. There is no difference between the giver and the receiver when it comes to circle. Because when you see a circle, the giver and receiver is actually the same thing. There is no real difference. The real difference happened when there is no longer circular vessel. It's all the time giving and receiving is the same. When it happened that there is a difference, well, now you have an illusion. In the illusionary level, where we live in the illusionary level. We like it or not, but that's where we are. We are an illusion. So when people said, I'm above that illusion, you're never above that illusion. You're always living in the illusion. Recognize that you're living in the illusion is the beginning of the journey. It's a fun part of the journey. Discovering, having a clarity that this is an illusion is the beginning of all the great things that happen to you in your life. Unfortunately, people refuse to believe it. It is an illusion. So what is Rav Ashlag and Rabbi Isaac Luria is teaching us? Reshima. What is Reshima? After the tea will be empty from the cup. I'm using physical example, even if it's a really, really far away from what Rav Ashlag tried to explain. Far away, but what am I have to do? We all living in an illusion. So we have to use example from the illusion. That's what's left. So after I drink the old tea, it will be left over of somebody say, Yosef said last week, residue. Left over of the tea, residue or reshima or leftover. That reshima, that honey and tea. Try to say to yourself, you never drank tea with honey before. And you come, the cup, nobody's seeing you, putting your finger in. This is tastes good. Now that taste that you have was a drop, it was nothing. But it's awakening within you a desire for the original tea. That's called a reshima, that's called impression, or residue, or any name that you want to use, that awakening within you a desire. So Rav Ashlag is teaching us that the beginning of reshima, it's called p'chinat reshima ma'or sh'ayabo. Klomar ahara ktana me'ot miklalut kol ha'or ha'kodem. It's just a spark of light from all the light that was there before. Spark of light, well, that spark of light, awakening immediate desire for the original. So first there is fulfillment. You have to remember that most people disagree with that. The fulfillment comes before the desire. Most people think the desire comes and then I have fulfillment in life. Once I have desire, then I get fulfilled. No. First there is fulfillment. Then fulfillment has to go away. And it stays some memory of what you used to have. And then you have a true awakening for that fulfillment that happened there. Now, of course, we don't remember. Because we're living one life. Everybody lives 80 years, 90 years, 190, okay? Who remember what happened last lifetime? I don't remember. I mean, what happened last life? I was Chinese. I was advisor. I was a soldier. I was a bird. I was celery. They put me with the carrot juice. Okay, whatever it was. So you don't remember exactly to the details what happened. Sometimes in a dream it's come, but we don't. So that reshima, that impression from another lifetime, awakening a desire in this lifetime. Not everybody want money. Not everybody want to be famous. Not everybody want to be a smart person. Everybody has a different desire. How come? If we all test the tea, don't we all want the tea? No, everybody find a different cup. Everybody find a different empty cup that they taste the reshima, and from that, they have an awakening to want whatever they're missing. So you can only have a desire for things you already had. And that's what's difficult for people who begin spirituality. Because they think that they're inventing something new. There's no invention. I'm so sorry for the bad news. I don't care how much you're going to invent things. As King Solomon, I think he was wiser than me, say, En chadash tachat ha-shemesh. He said, there is nothing new under the sun. And you should read some of his books, King Solomon. The wise of all men. En chadash. Why say there is nothing new under the sun? What about under the moon? What about under the star? Sun. En chadash tachat ha-shemesh. Nothing new after the sun. Nobody asked that question. You ask this question to the rabbi, they kick you out. En chadash tachat ha-shemesh. Nothing new under the sun. The sun spiritually represents a level in Kabbalah that's called Ze'er Anpin. The moon represents malchut, physicality, illusion. Everything is a different level. So because the sun represents that elevation, so King Solomon tell you, listen, I've been in the illusion. I was kidnapped by a demon. Those of you who know the story of King Solomon, if you don't, Google it. I was kicked out of my palace for 7 years by a demon who took my shape. I know it all. I know the physical world and I know the spiritual world. And I'm telling you, Even under the spiritual world, there's nothing new. So what are we doing here? It's quite insulting. We're repeating, yes. You ever saw, there is a movie, I don't remember who played it, let me remember for a second. Somebody who sleep as a soldier and always come back again as the same. He need to learn a lesson. I think it's Tom Cruise, but I might be mistaken with my memory. He go sleep and then he restart the movie again. The whole movie is repeat of something. You know what I'm talking about?
Edge of Tomorrow.
What is it called?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Thank you for using it. The lawyer always remember details. I love that. Yeah. You know, the lawyer never forget things, especially the payment day, right? What happened tonight? Somebody tried to get in and kicked them out?
Out.
Oh my God. Don't kick them out like that, Debbie. Anyway, so in The Edge of Tomorrow, or if you remember the movie Groundhog Day, I think it's called, there is a repeat. Now that's repeat, we might don't want to know about it. We're repeating, by the way. I know you hate it, but we're repeating. We're repeating everything. We're repeating behavior. We're repeating a lot of things. We're even repeating relative. Do you know that your parents and your brother and sister and friend most probably have been with you a few times? Oh, Luisa, oh, Chinese, don't know. All the way from China, don't know. Shalom, Shaolin, don't know. Okay, so we know that all of our friends, all of our family have been with us basically in another life. We are repeating it. So the reshimot, those impressions that left within the cup that called vessel, awakening a desire for what I used to have. Now there is two types of people. We split to two now. The one who confront life and the one who hide and waiting for somebody to knock on the door. And if nobody knocks on the door, they say, it meant to be. We become religious, become spiritual. What do you call it? It meant to be. Where is this meant to be came from? The one who stay in the house and order online and never saw outside what's the weather. It's meant to be. Nobody knock on the door, Eliyahu. They use spiritual rules now. They come and say, I think it meant to be. How do you know it meant to be? Because nobody knock on the door. So maybe you go out, they know even, they think nobody live in that house. And then they know to knock on that door. So Reshima is awakening of the desire, my friend. The desire is a burning thing that can never stop. You can never let the desire die. Because don't worry about fulfillment, it's already here. What is you wishing for? What is you dreaming about? It's already happened. You are almost like those people with the coin that's scratching the lottery or whatever they call that card. They're scratching with a coin. What is that, Luisa? It's the best. Scratches. Okay? So when you scratch it, you find it, right? And once you scratch it and find it, it's already there. Now, don't you think it was written before you scratch it? It's there, it was print. Your life is already written. The movie, the film that is running, don't you think the end of the movie is there? I know we don't see the film, but in the old days, the film is running. In the end of the film, there is already the result. So what are we doing here? What are we doing? It's really running. And it's rolling. Even using the word, it's rolling. It's going around. That's same like life. Gilgul, Gilgul, Gilgul. Gilgul means reincarnation. It's always Gilgul, Gilgul, Gilgul. So the Reshima, it say like this. Look at the words of Rav Ashlag, like 1922. So beautiful. And I'm going to translate it. Klomar, ha'ara ktana me'od miklalut kol ha'or ha'kodem. נשארה בכל כלי, שערה זו גורמת השתוקקות אל הכלי שלא תשקוט ולא תנוח עד שתחזור ותמשיך כל האור. That spark within the vessel will not rest until it fulfills the original light it used to be there. Sometimes you have a desire, sometimes you have a dream. I'm sure some of you even gave up some dream. When you were young, you want to be this, you want to be that, you want to do this. And you know, with the age, you look at the wrinkles a little bit. And it's going like a little bit down, you know, a little bit down. You're getting to a certain age, you look and say, you know what, just one little thing, I would be happy. I'll tell you a story, one of my favorite. One of the greatest Kabbalists who live in Russia is them Agaon Mivilna, the genius from Vilna. Vilna is a place in Russia. Okay, the Vilna Gaon, they call him. He was genius. Why he was genius? Because he wrote 80 books. Some of them Kabbalah, some of them Malachah, some of them spirituality, some of them mathematic book that they're using it today. Gaon Mivilna, Rabbi Eliyahu Mivilna. That's what Eliyahu Pinchas Horowitz Mivilna. When he was young, they discovered him to be genius more than the average person in all area. So when they saw that, they asked him, what do you want to do? He said, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to change every human being in the world to be spiritual and to have consciousness. When he grew up, he started saying, you know what? I have a goal. I'm going to change Europe. Forget the world. Just Europe, you know, from England all the way to Russia. That will be my territory. He started having kids and all this and that. He said, you know what? Time is running out. I'm going to work on Russia. Russia is my country. I'm going to change every human being in Russia to become with a spiritual consciousness. He started having grandchildren. He said, you know what? Vilna is a big city. It's a big city. I'm going to work on Vilna. Vilna is an important city that I want to change everyone. As he's getting older, he's looking at his community. He said, I will be very happy if my community can be more spiritual. I'm in charge of making their life better. And then he's getting really, really old, you know, how to walk. And he started looking at his family. He said, I think I would be happy if my family can change. That would make me happy. And a few months after, he said, I think I'm going to work on myself. I would like to change me. And that's what he say. And this story, you know, when you read it, it's profound. Does that mean that he gave up his dream? Does that mean, you know, we have a certain amount of time. Life, in a way, it's not very rewarding when you understand you have a certain amount of time. But if you take it in the right way, it can be motivating to do something with life, not to waste time. Because we can look at it both ways. Either it pushes you toward the purpose, or either, you know, you're just wasting it and it's going to go away. You know, I cannot not mention what happened last night in Thousand Oaks, you know, so it was a spiritual magazine who called me to do an article on that. And so I wrote it already, but I'm going to share with you. So, and I say that we have issues, you know, we all have issues. And to point finger, it's because of the gun control, because of this, because of that. We can say that. But in the end of the day, the coldness that we develop between us, we become cold to one another. And the lack of caring for the one who has the problem, but it has nothing to do with me, we're losing it. We start losing it. You know, it's the distance between people becoming larger, and it's become okay to be distanced. We are okay to be distanced from one another. We are not mixing with one another. We are away. It's no longer the desire of humanity to be together. That spark that is burning desire inside of us to love and to connect, regardless what the skin color or the religion or what your sex you like or what this you like, who cares? You know, to be able to awaken that love that is burning, you know? To really awakening the love to one another. And it's not because of religion, not because of anything, just because we've been created in the image of the Creator. That part has to be approached, And the enemy we're fighting, to be honest with you, it's in the mind. It's not the gun, it's not religion, it's not nothing, it's not even money. It's in the mind, something in the mind. And until we don't have some, I don't know how to do it, but conversation, like people gathering and talk to each other, even talk about the pain, and everybody not even helping, just to take it out this way instead of taking out in a bullet, I think we can prevent a lot of other things that might happen, because it's not the end, unfortunately. It's not the end until people will not start talking to each other, feeling the pain of the victim and feeling the pain of the one who caused the victim to become the victim. Everybody has a pain. I don't know why I'm mentioning it, even if it don't belong, but I'm sorry for that. But it's important, it bothered me, so it came out this way. I'm sorry for that. But let me go back to the book. So, שתמשיך כל האור שהיה לה מקודם, בחמותו ובאיכותו. So try to imagine what is light, למשוך את האור. What is to draw light? Let's understand light together. Light is everything. We cannot imagine everything. The brain of a human being, impossible for us to imagine everything, because once you imagine everything, you're no longer inside of yourself. You're gone. You're part of something else. What is the something else? Everything. Once you're part of everything, there is no more you. If there is no more you, you cannot think about what you actually experience. I lost you here? Oh, it's okay. Okay. So once you get out of the all, there is no more you. If there is no more you, there is no more experiential. For that reason, there is something called ego. The ego keeps you actually alive, because the ego is actually keep you as you. If you know no ego, there will be no you. If there is no you, what can there is no opinion. It's one. So for that reason, we've been created in separated way to complete one another. That's a goal. That light that we're talking about fulfill every empty vessel. That blessing come to everyone. And it's not the one with the yarmulke or the cross or something like this. There's no religion among the light. Light doesn't recognize religion. Light doesn't recognize thief, killer, or somebody who's doing good thing. Light is a giving. It's like electric power. It's only giving. You can use it as you wish. And it's coming. It's beautiful. Light is always beautiful. But how are you going to use it? How are you going to use the electricity to kill someone or for the light, you know? For physical light. So the spiritual light is a fulfilling all needed desire. Once there is desire, light is coming. No different. Now, because in the endless, the light, basically because of the timtum, because of the contraction, the light cannot come to a place where there is no desire. And because the endless vessel, called the circular vessel, canceling the original desire, canceling a void, like I'm closing my eyes, it's dark here. No, it's not. There is light. But because I close my eyes, there is dark. So that's what the original vessel did. And because of that, because the vessel, the container did that, because the circular vessel did that, it's not pushed away. The light stay around it. But the light could not fulfill that. But within the vessel that closed their eyes, there is a memory of what is to be inside. That memory, called Reshima. That Reshima now become the new desire to miss the original light that used to be there. I'm going to put glasses because I don't see face expression. So you with me on that? You with me? You have a question? Oh, we have a new student there. Please. He's very shy. Very good. What can you do? It's a sign. So what do you say? Are you with me on that? Or can I continue just a little bit more? Yes. Those of you who came for the easy class, I'm sorry, but it's coming in about 20 minutes. I know some faces say, I don't think I signed for that. I came to have a good time, eat some cookies, and smell the flowers. And all of a sudden, it's going deep here. Anyway, so that spark within the vessel now become the new desire. There's no more vessel. So what's become the desire? A memory of what you used to have. It's the same like life. Same like life. You ate. There's got to be one type of food you ate and you never ate it again. And then you go by a restaurant and you smell it. What is the smell? It brings in your memory cell a memory of the original food that you ate. You don't even know what it is. You don't even know. I remember that. I don't know what is it. Or there is people like me who like pistachio ice cream. I don't know how many of you are addicted to pistachio. Okay? So there is one place in the world that sells it in Los Angeles. I found it. I think I'm the first one to find it. It's called Sloan. S-L-O-A-N. Am I right? Sloan. Yeah. Sloan. It's in one place. Not famous. Most people don't even go there. Santa Monica, 3rd. And I'm trying to get people hooked into that. What's so special? They make it on the spot, that pistachio. Not every day they have it. And for me, this is the number one thing. Because since I was young, I tested one time. And then 30 years later, I never found something good. And I know the founder said, you are the one. Never close that store, please. You know, there's one in the valley too. Am I right? Yes. Okay. My lawyer said yes. So the idea is we need to get into the idea that the reshima, that impression that you have within you, become a burning desire. Don't ever kill it. It's always going to want what you have in the beginning. Because as much as you're not going to agree with me, in the first 3 years of your life, you actually have everything that you're going to have for the rest of your life. I lost you, huh? I repeat again. The first 3 years of your life, what we call in Kabbalah, Keter Chokmah Binah. For that reason, a man, you know, usually you don't cut the hair of the man until 3 years old, and many people think it's a religious thing. It's not a religious thing. It's actually something that happened, that Keter Chokmah Binah, the whole energy come down to the baby, to the child, and then you get all the Keter Chokmah Binah, which is the hair itself, you know, it's like pipes of energy. that receiving all that energy, and then you can cut their hair. That's why I always tell parents, don't cut until 3 years old, the baby, the child, because that's how we receive the energy. Don't do that. Don't do it right away. Oh, I wanted to look cool. I wanted to go to Rolandino, the soccer player, and they shave him here, they shave him here. What is the kids going to do? They give him a candy and be quiet. So the reshima for what you experienced last lifetime and the reshima of what you experienced actually in childhood is reshima, is a memory, is basically a force that start being activating, start to be activating the old concept of what you used to have before. All right? So this is the reshima. So you write, like this. V'arazu mechuna b'shem reshimo. Now, Rav Ashlag write, don't call it reshima, call it reshimo. We have a word for it, reshimo. ותדע שתוכן השמות של עשר ספירות, כתר חוכמה וכו', הם מגדירים בעיקר את הרשימות של האור שנשארו בעשרת הכלים. So when we use reshima, and when we use from now on כתר חוכמה ובינת אוסף, you're familiar with the ספירות, we're not relating to the light that come to the vessel, we're not related to the desire, the container which called the vessel, we only related, when we say the ספירות, to what type of spark left within the vessel to draw that type of light. So we no longer, really, so when you hear, those of you who study Kabbalah for a long time, familiar with the 10 ספירות, כתר, חוכמה, בינה, חסד, גבורה, תפארת, נצח, עוד יסוד, מלכות, those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry. So this is the 10 layers of energy from above to below. Those energy are spark within the vessel. And we call it Reshimot or Reshimo. So Rav Ashlag gave us a name, Reshimo. Dari gave the name first, it's called it Reshimo. Dari, 500 years ago, gave that name. And it's very important to understand. And I continue. ומכאן תדע שלא יצויר שום רצון בעולמות, או אפילו התעוררות קלה של רצון, אין בעליונים ואין בתחתונים. ואפילו בדומם, צומח, חי ומדבר הגשמיים, I'm sorry, I'm going to translate it, I'm excited too, שלא יהיו מושרשים בעשר הספירות, העיגולים הללו, ויחד עם זה מובן גם כן שאי אפשר כלל שיתעורר איזה רצון במהות, אם לא תגלה פעם מקודם מילוי מספיק לרצון ההוא. אבל אשלג, revelation, it's telling us like that. You need to know that it's impossible that there is any desire that exists, or even awakening of a desire, whatever it's in the upper world or the lower world, and even, this is the surprise for all of us, even if we talk about minerals, vegetables, animals, and human, they don't call human human here, by the way, they call them medaber. You know what medaber mean? The one who knows how to speak. Can they call us human a little bit? Don't we look like human? No. It's called the animal that knows how to speak. They call us the birds, basically. I'm a human. No, medaber. The one who talk. Why medaber? Why they call us medaber? Why they call us the one who know how to talk? Because our entire essence is here. Do you know that your entire power is only in this area? Your whole power. People think you should not gossip, you know, lashon hara. You know, you should not talk bad about another person behind their back. Oh, it's not nice. Don't do that. No, it's not about not nice. It's bad for you. It's not bad for them. Bad for you. You want to know what destroys you? When you speak bad about others. What happened? In your mouth, there is power. It's written in Tikkun HaZohar, Tikkun 69. Tikkun HaZohar is a section from the Zohar that Rabbi Shimon wrote in the cave. And he writes like that. Everybody with their mouth can do magic. You can even fly. You can eliminate any negativity with your mouth. But because you overly use the mouth for wrong thing, when you're about to say something, no power. Take the first magician. What words are you using? They were using Aramaic. They didn't use Hebrew or English. The first word they were using, abracadabra. Abra in Aramaic mean, I will create. Evra, ani evra, I will create. Kadabra, as I will say. Kedaber, like I will talk. So abracadabra, those of you who know Hebrew. Abracadabra, I will create as I will say. So the power of the words, medaber, we have the power of the words, if you don't abuse it. So don't, I'm not talking bad about other people. Why? Because it's hurting them. No, forget them. Don't be such a tzaddik, a righteous person. It's hurting you. If you don't see things hurting you, you will never change. If you think things are hurting others, you will do it when everybody's leaving. You know, I grew up with three sisters. So when you grow up with three sisters, You learn a lot about women, men, but women mostly, you know. You get beat up because I was young. So, but the thing that you learned, it was eating issues, you know. It's eating a phone of a guy or not eating a phone of a guy. So when my sister used to date guys, they were acting like unbelievable. And I, it's terrible to see it as a guy. And then when the guy's leaving and everybody's leaving, all of a sudden I'm being pushed away and the food going to their corner. And the idea is, don't do things for others. Do things for your spiritual growth. Okay? So he writes like this. אפילו בדצחם, דומם צומח חי מדבר, הגשמיים שלא יהיו מושרשים בעשר הספירות העיגולים הללו, ויחד עם זה מובן גם כן שאי אפשר כלל שיתעורר איזה רצון במהות. There is no desire that will be awake ever it within anything until it, there is a spark of the original desire that coming from the endless that called reshima. So now, how much respect you will have tomorrow morning when you eat your carrot, your celery, all of that come to an existence because some spark that we cannot even see with the naked eye that awakening a desire for the creation of the carrot. I know it's kind of confusing. Again, let me explain it. For example, how many of you ever work in the ground like a farmer? So you would know what I'm talking about. So I was in a kibbutz, so I know. Yeah, you know? Okay. So when you work as a farmer, not every seed makes it. I'm sorry to tell you this. You know, you can put a lot of seed in the ground, and if I work in a cotton field, or if I work in a pomegranate, or I think, not everybody is a winner. Not everyone is a winner. So it shows you that there is something going on. The Zohar said that every seed have an angel attached to it. And the angel say, grow, 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 grow. And until the angel don't say, grow, 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 it doesn't grow. Here it say that even the tzomeach has a spark within that seed, a memory that going all the way to Adam and Eve, even in a physical way, but I'm talking about the spiritual way, that spark that is not physical. I know it's hard for the brain to capture it. It's not a physical. It's something, I wish I have the language to explain it, almost like what physics call antimatter. I don't know if you heard that word before, the antimatter and the matter. The antimatter is basically non-materialistic thing, but it's there, and it's not physical thing that is attached to something spiritual, but it's not antimatter. I'm trying to use all kind of language to make it clear. And that thing is drawing a certain amount of light that makes the physical thing actually exist. That's how far it goes. So, it is profound because without desire, nothing happens. And without memory of a desire, there is no desire. So when you want something, and it's real, you have to check if your desire is real. How do you know it's not real? When you get jealous. Jealousy is not a real desire, it's a fake desire. Never follow your jealousy. You've been fooled. Not by others, by yourself. You've been fooled by yourself. Jealousy, nonsense. It's not real, it's a lie. You're lying to yourself. You're jealous. You see somebody like that, you want to copy them. In the end, 20 years later, you say, what have I done with my life? I just try to copy and paste what I do. Why? You are the best that you can be. You are the best. You've been created in the best image. You have within you the spark that needs to be revealed. Don't get tired. Just activate that Shimo. Draw that light. It will happen. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. You're the most beautiful thing that exists. You're the most amazing thing that God created. But they are too. Okay. They are too. Wonderful. But work on yourself. Draw that light. So again, without Reshimo, without Reshima, there is nothing that's been drawn. והעניין כי כבר נתבהר את זה בחלק הראשון של הספר, אשר הרצון לקבל אינו הסיבה הראשונה של האור. I will stop here because it's very important to explain. I put it in my next book. This is the most important thing that every student have to remember. And I will translate it first. We already make it clear in the beginning of the book that the desire to receive is not the reason for the light to come. It's important to explain it, guys. Normal brain of a human being understand that once I want, once I demand, then there is fulfillment. And the fulfillment is coming as I'm demanding. So I want T. Hopefully I will receive fulfillment of a T. I want money, I will receive a fulfillment of money. I want a certain thing, that's how it works. And I'm fighting for my desire to be fulfilled. Rav Ashlag is mentioned here, something very important that most students of Kabbalah get confused. And by the way, the one who make it stronger was 300 years ago, the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov lived in Mizebush, and the greatest discovery of the Baal Shem Tov was that the fulfillment of the light caused the desire to be exist. Which means, because I want to give you 10, I create a desire that contain that 10. Because I want to give you grapes, I create a desire within you to receive the grapes. Because I want to give you a hug, I create a desire for that hug to begin. So every desire that we feel every day is only because that the endless light, the Creator, the Divine, want to give that good. Now people ask me and challenge me and say, Liao, come on. What about bad desire? What about bad desire? There is no bad desire. There is just a way to get there. It might be bad. There is no bad desire. Just the way how you get there might be the wrong way. Nobody will judge you what you want. Because what you want, without going into the details, I mean, I can go into details, but that will take us hours. In the upper world, even what you consider and you're ashamed of yourself of that desire, in the upper world, that fulfillment exists as well. But because we're living in the 10th level, which is called Malchut, which is the illusionary level, which is the tree of knowledge, good and bad, which is the illusion of the difference between good and bad, things has to come to a define what's right, what's wrong. And that's why it's a very difficult to explain the light when we are living in this physical domain. Because in the upper level, it's all one. It's all become one. And Rav Ashlag wants us just to remember before we start the next paragraph, because the light want to give, you're awakening the receiving. So now think for a second. Take a moment. Think about all what you want right now for the next year for yourself. Soon it's going to be December and 2019 begin. And I'm going to talk about it soon, about the astrological forecast for the month. But before I'm going there, what you want can only be wanted by you because the light already has it installed for you. It's a mindset which must change in the universe. What you want, whatever you wish for yourself in the morning, it's only because the light want to give it to you, and that's why you want it. And again, it's not the easy things to keep in mind, because after you leave it right away, you go back to the day. Why is it beautiful? Beautiful. Thank you, Sharon. I'm getting compliment here, Debbie, you see? I'm doing well. Thank you. Big hug and love. Thank you. So the idea is to get into a place that we are in that consciousness. It's all, we have to live our life like this. So you wake up in the morning, you want coffee. It's because the light this morning say good morning. I want to give you a coffee. That's why you want the coffee. You're going to look at life totally different. Whatever you want, even the simple thing. I want to take a walk on the beach in Santa Monica. Nice. It's because the light want to share with you the sunset or sunrise or whatever you want to call it on Santa Monica. It's what the light want to share. The divine want to share with you. Immediately there is an awakening of a desire for it. Now, if you can keep your mind all day long with that, I'm telling you, one day, just give me one day. You will see what happened to your life. It will start to change immediately. So a lot of time I know that people like to take courses about how to get what they want. And it's great. I mean, I love all the speakers and some of them are my friend. And we talk to each other on the phone and they're famous and they're huge. And God bless them. There is sometimes when I tell them how to get what you want and all this and that, is a lot of people get excited in the lecture. They do all kind of things, jumping from airplane, walking on fire. And then they go home, they have to deal with life. And they didn't get what they want. They have to deal with that. And again, I'm a big supporter and big fan. But the one thing that I want to address is, even if you want it all, it's not enough. You have to connect the want it all because the light wants to give you all. Okay, I want you just to connect to that part every day. Okay? So What do you want to do tomorrow with your life? You have a dream, you have something new you want to do. That dream that you want to do is because the light want to share it with you. Why does it take time? Why does it take time? It's not fair almost. Why does it take time? It doesn't take time. It doesn't. It takes time for you. Never take time. I had a person that I coach in my business. So he's a businessman, very young, very nice, amazing, unbelievable. And I'm coaching him for 13 months. And we come again to what we call in business the end line, to manifestation. I'm like, here we go. We did it. And in the end line, he starts collapsing. I said, man, what's happening? You got the deal. You flew to China, then to Vietnam. You came back to Miami. You did all, everything worked perfectly. It's done. It's a done deal. What happened? Just go there and sign the contract. I can't. So I called, I said, man, what do you mean? Can we work on that? We motivate. We did everything there. And it took me time. He couldn't. He just couldn't. And the words he used, I feel I'm greedy. I feel I'm wanting more than other people want. Beautiful thing. He's such a noble, that's such a nice guy. Nice young guy. And I said, didn't you want it? He said, yes, but I feel, why should I have 7 million when other people don't have anything? And I had to go to psychology and different things to get him understanding. Nothing helped. I called my psychologist friend in Florida. I said, please help me here. Can you have a session together? I don't know how to penetrate psychology. Being a scientist, being this, the guys deserve it. He's really work hard. No, nothing helped. Until I told him what I'm just telling you now. So what if I tell you that that's the greatest pleasure of the divine to give you that gift? And you are actually insult the universe and the divine by not receiving it. He was quiet. And he called me, I'm crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, remind me of my mom that sometimes I refuse to eat in her house. That's what remind me. You just remind me something. And he went and he cut the deal. And I was so proud of him. Young man, so ambitious, but he gets stuck there because the way he grew up, he never feel he deserved more than maybe having accumulation of maybe $50,000 in his life. So he had to be awakening. So the blockage that you have of time or amount or quality, it's nothing to do with the divine. It has to do with something inside of me I don't feel I deserve. Now you call it humbleness, but I will tell you what it's called by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. There is a rabbi named the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. He called it ego. But you feel you don't deserve it, it's an ego. And he called it a dangerous ego. There is two types of ego. There is the ego of greedy, which is can be recognized, and basically you can reduce it. Everybody has it. And then there is a second kind of ego that nobody can find out you have. It's called the fake humbleness. When you say, no, you know, it's too much for me. That's the ego. Too much for you? It's Prophet Samuel said to King Shaul, first king of Israel, Im katan ata be'enecha rosh leshifte Israel ata. If you are small in your own eyes, you are the head of all the tribe. That's what Prophet Samuel, Navi Shmuel, Amar Lamelech Shaul. Because Shaul was humble. He said, no, I don't think I'm the right one for the job. He said, who asked you? Who asked you if you're good for the job? You've been chosen by the divine to be the king. You be the king. You wear the crown and that's what job you have. A lot of time we do that because we think that we don't deserve it. Don't block the divine. Don't block it. Don't feel because you're not greedy now you're doing the job. Maybe you're destroying the world by not being greedy. Somebody else will be greedy instead of you and that will be the one who destroys the world. Rather that money will go to a good person, it will go to the hand of the wrong people. Rather the control will go to good people, they'll go to the wrong people. By you blocking the divine or the divine want to fulfill you, that's a problem. שבני העולם חושבים אלא להפך ממש כי האור והמילוי הוא סיבה לרצון. אשר הרצון להשפיע כלול בהכרח באור העליון הוליד בתכונתו את הרצון לקבל שבנאצל. We need to remember once the light start to share, that sharing act awakening immediately a desire within the light to create a new desire called The Netzal, Netzal mean emanated, or the vessel, or the container, the receiver. משום שמה שהוא רצון בעליון, נעשה כוח וחיוב בתחתון. Whatever it is, רצון בעליון, whatever it is desire in the upper world, desire to share, become a must in the lower world. It's not a choice. עיין שם היטב. הרי שהאור העליון נעשה סיבה לגילוי דלת הבחינות שברצון אצל הנאצל. For that reason, because the light want to share so much, automatically there is a four level of desire within the Netzal, within the emanated, within the desire to receive. Now what are the four? I'm going to repeat it even, we don't have to repeat it. Please listen to my all my video and audio of this study. I did about, I don't know, 30 or 40 or more. So the four levels go like this. Please memorize it. Every desire built from four levels. The first level is the force, the divine, God, whatever you want to call it, want to give. Because the force want to give, immediately it's awakening a receiving force. But that receiving force is a passive force. It's not because I want, because I don't have. It's because the light say, I'm giving, now you're receiving. Passive. Second level is after the light being appeared to you, you recognize it, you want to share it. So that's the second level of desire because want to share it as some type of desire. That level called, if you want to know, Bina. The first level called Chokhmah. So a lot of people translate the Sefirot into English. It has nothing to do. You need to understand what it means. Chokhmah means the original desire that is, has nothing to do with the receiver. It has to do with the light. Second level, Bina. I want to share. Third level, I'm sharing. I'm so happy. I'm sharing everything I have. It's called Ze'er Anpin. The fourth level is the true desire. It's called Malchut. Now I want because I don't have. Remember, after everything is empty, I share everything. I have Reshimot, I have Reshima. Now I have a true desire. So only the Malchut itself is a true desire. The other three are not really a desire.